What a beautiful song. Welcome to Kubda, Khemda.
Hi, I'm Khemda. That's Keith Malley. Thank you for listening.
Do you have the app? Get it. Thank you. Today's guest is a regular at the Comedy Cellar. Been on Gotham Comedy Live, Fox's Red Eye. Debut album you should check out, Not Enough Pieces. But not yet. First, let's get to know him.
Hello.
Dan Lamorte.
How you doing? Thank you.
Dan, your stand-up's very funny.
Thank you.
Congrats with everything. I do have to... Seeing stand-up, you know, you can't tell what's real, what's exaggerated, what's not.
Yes.
So let me ask you, first of all, are you sober right now?
No.
Okay.
I was last year.
How long?
I lasted 5 months.
Okay.
What was the lasted? Like you fell off or you had a decision?
I fell off.
You fell off?
In the weirdest way.
What was
I went on tour last summer and stayed sober the entire tour. Me and you, we were in New Orleans. We were in like real party towns.
Yeah.
And then I came home and my cousin had her birthday party at a winery and she had bought a bottle of chocolate wine. And I was like, what's one sip going to do? Next thing you know, I'm like drinking 2.5 bottles. I'm like, well, this is it. Sobriety is over.
Do you know it as you're, when you go for a full drink
yeah.
of the wine, are you like, I'm in it again. Fuck it.
Yeah. At the first sip, I was like, I need alcohol. And I'm not even a wine guy. I just knew that day it was going to be wine, and the next day I'd be back to drinking what I want to drink.
What made you stop in the first place? Did you have a bottom that you
not
recognized?
I mean, I did. I was
bottom of 2.5 bottles.
I'm at the bottom again. The bottom again.
It was so weird because I never thought I had a problem, and then I got.
I think that's the first sign of a problem, right?
Yeah, and then like my family, they were like, you know, you kind of drink a little bit, and then my therapist at the time was like, you're an alcoholic. I was like, I think that's aggressive. Right. This isn't what I was here for. And then I didn't go to like AA or anything. I just got sober on my own. And the only thing I wanted to get sober was because I was a big drunk driver.
Oh, yeah.
Because in Jersey, you have to drive everywhere.
Right.
And then that's when I realized, I was like, this isn't a good thing.
Were you scared drunk driving or not?
No, I was cocky.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what I didn't like about myself. So I was like, I got to learn how to not do this.
So are you doing that now that you're drinking? You're somehow...
I don't drive drunk anymore.
How do you get home?
I don't drink in the city. If I'm in the city and I'm doing shows, at the most, I'll have a beer. That's it.
Okay, so... Doesn't that confuse the alcoholic? Like I would be like, maybe I'm not an alcoholic if I could just do.
That's what I've always thought. I've never really thought I was a full alcoholic. I was just I'm a big fan of partying.
Yeah, I mean, there's different versions. There's the weekend alcoholic. There's whatever.
I
mean, but
I had alcohol poisoning a few times, so that was like red flags.
Aren't you 22?
I'm 22. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It changes when you put that in there, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
We got to start with people's ages when we start introduce somebody. Yeah. And 22 years old, here he is, Dan Lamorte.
Yeah, it's...
You're in the hospital for those?
No, my mom's a nurse, and she thought it would be a good idea to just her monitor me and keep me awake.
Okay.
And just let me... I threw up the first time I had it, I think 33, 34 times in one night.
Vomited.
What? Yeah.
But that means you're... Just vomiting all the time.
Just vomiting.
There's you're like the same amount of breathing.
Yeah.
But I was about to say, how do you know it's poisoning?
Well, I feel like after 10 throw-ups, you're like, I'm poisoned.
Yeah. That's the line.
Yeah, I think 10 is a pretty good number to be like, this isn't good.
Can she keep her cool or is she crying like, this is my son?
She kept her cool for the most part. I mean, I didn't keep my cool. She did, though.
Right.
It'd be
really
great.
She got me like Gatorade and... I had to clean up then. I threw up all over the house. So.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Did you clean it up?
I did.
Okay. That would get me sober. Like, I don't want to clean this. I don't.
Yeah.
Do you remember throwing up?
I remember walking into my house because I live in the guest room of my parents' house. And for some reason,
I have my own entrance.
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, all of the walls are mirrors.
Okay.
And I just remember walking in being like, you're fine. And then just throwing up on all of the mirrors. And I was like, well, this is going to be terrible tomorrow. There's a whole process going into this.
He's throwing up on a mirror, but he's wiping his shirt down, looking in the mirror, confused.
Nothing is more like a come to Jesus moment, watching yourself vomit onto a mirror. And then you turn to the left and it's another mirror. You're like, oh my God, I'm watching every angle of alcoholism.
That was your parents' way of trying to get you not to drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is your dad around?
Yeah. Old parents.
Was he disgusted with you or he didn't know?
He was probably more disgusted than my mom because my dad is very straight edge.
Oh, yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. No, never like a cigarette, a And he drinks a little bit, never a drug. The first time he did a drug was I gave him an edible like 3 weeks ago.
That was how you introduced your dad yeah. to weed.
And a potent one at that.
What the
yeah.
fuck?
He made the decision. He wanted to jump in. And I was like, well, if we're going to do it, we're doing it big.
How did it go?
He was
still
awkward.
Laughing.
Yeah. yeah.
He's just in bed laughing. It's 3 weeks later.
Yeah. It was because he's a big, he loves planting. And he was digging, it sounds cliche, but he was in the backyard digging the same hole for like 35 minutes until I had to go out there and be like, Dad, let's come in and watch a movie.
Right. You can bury a body in that hole for a plant.
Yeah. He was like, but I'm digging holes. I was like, you're digging hole. yeah, there is no S on this.
Did he like it?
Yeah, because he has arthritis in his legs or something. I don't pay attention. But it helped him out for that day. It made him happy. He works too much. He needed it.
And do you think he will kind of...
Oh, he's a dealer.
yeah. He actually quit running the deli he runs and just sells drugs now.
Isn't it legal in Jersey?
Is it? I was arrested for it when I was 17. So at that time, it wasn't legal.
But how much was on you when a cop pulled you over?
I couldn't even tell you the number. It was so little, so minuscule. It was like a bag of little dime bags. Not even, just little dime bags.
So you were dealing, obviously.
That was my first night attempting to deal.
Okay.
yeah. He literally got arrested for intent.
Yeah. Right. Well, in his stand-up, he brings up, you know, careful when you're the driver because that means it's your car.
Yeah, it's actually my whole closing bit. It still is. I'm not a prolific writer. I still do my jokes from my album.
So what? How did you start? This was your first day on the job. You are the worst employee.
Well, it wasn't even like we were going to become like dealers. There was just a party happening that night, the grade below us. So me and two of my friends were like, let's just rip them off, put a bunch of dimes in like dub bags and just rip them off for just giving this weed. And we got arrested on the way to the party.
Meaning let's give them $10 for $20.
Let's give them $10 worth for $20.
Okay.
Yeah. And it backfired. Karma has its way.
What happened? Wouldn't you be driving super carefully in order to not...
You would think. you would think that would be the first priority. With, hey, let me not run this red light while I have drugs in my center console. Also, that's where I kept it. My friend literally said, let's just put it in the trunk. I was like, I think it's better next to me.
In his stand-up, he talks about how the cop goes, show me your registration. He's like, okay, my registration.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
It was literally secured underneath just a bag of marijuana.
The cop's like, well, why don't you check? He's like, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure I don't.
You're
right.
Probably sweating to death as that's happening.
I kept my cool. I had two friends in my car. They didn't keep their cool. One of them was like, we should run. I was like, what is that going to accomplish?
Oh, shit.
But then it turned out fine because the one kid, his dad was the police chief of the town over. So I got a lawyer for Christmas that year. And it's funny because I got 5 tickets. Failure to produce the license, registration, running a red light, obviously intent and possession. And I think I walked away from that with a fine for blocking an intersection.
Wow.
Didn't even get the running a red light ticket.
What did they threaten you with? Like, what were you supposed to be up against?
I don't remember.
How do you, what? Well, didn't your life just go, holy shit, I won't be able to go to college, I won't be able to do this?
Well, to make things crazier, the day after I was arrested, I found myself in a mental institution. I don't know if it was on my part being like, I'm crazy, or just being like, this is a great way to get out of trouble. Let me just spend a week in a psych ward.
Did you feel crazy?
No, especially when I got there, I was like, I'm definitely not at this level, maybe to some level, but
why did somebody put you in there? Why do your parents?
I was like, I'm going to kill myself. You know, the crazy depressed. Yeah. I am bipolar. I talk about it in my album. I was diagnosed. I don't feel like I am anymore, but
are you on meds?
Not anymore. I've been off for 4 months out of therapy and off meds.
Isn't that how the relapse of, this disorder comes back? Like, people who are on meds think that everything's fine because it is, because the meds are helping, then they get off and have an episode.
Yeah, we'll find out. That's the exciting
all right.
part.
Hey, what triggers it? Because we might have that here.
But things aren't fine, are they, Dan?
What are your manic episodes like?
They told me I had bipolar 2, which means you don't have a manic high.
You just have the depressive part.
Yeah, just the depressive part.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'd be depressed about that.
Yeah.
So you're just polar.
Yeah, just one. Yeah. Singular. I'm singular polar.
How is it bipolar if you just have one side of it?
I don't know. I don't know how they came up with... I think they were just lazy. Like, let's just throw a 2 on the end of bipolar and... We'll just give people medicine for it.
Are you nervous about, I mean, again, you're 22, but are you nervous at all having children and passing along any of these genes?
Yeah, that was always a thought in my head. Like I always think like maybe I'd adopt just to not pass down these depressed. I think my big thing is depression. That's it. And I don't buy into the whole bipolar thing. I'm just a depressed person sometimes.
You know, I've noticed that people are making more decisions like that, considering if to have children because of their disorders, diseases, or, you know, their mental health, blah, blah, blah. And also their physical health, like you just have cancer running through your body. And then I think like everyone who's thinking about it is a beautiful person, which is why they're probably not having kids. And like the people who are like, who's fine? Who has nothing running through their genes? And then you just like have a baby. And anyway, you can not even know what's happening. It's just interesting to like stop yourself as deciding that your gene pool is just worse than everybody else.
We bring this up because your parents are writing in, have kids, Dan, have kids.
I'm an only child, so I need to continue the name.
Do they hint ever? Again, 22, so young.
No, because it hasn't really been a thought of mine, you know?
Okay.
It needs to be a thought of yours in order for your parents to have it? That's amazing. I was asked when I'm having kids, like since I got my period.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you seeing anybody now?
No, I just got out of like, I call it my first adult relationship.
How long?
I knew her for a year. We like officially dated for like 6-7 months.
Okay.
And I just call it adult because I hadn't dated anyone since I was 17. So it was a 5-year span.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, no, it was good. Very, very good that it's over.
How did it end?
We were a fine couple, very happy, and we went out to dinner, and we just fought and said stuff we shouldn't have said to each other.
Out of nowhere?
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Were you thinking it before?
Neither of us, I don't think, ever even thought it, but we were like talking serious stuff, and then we were at a Houlihan's around Trenton, New Jersey. What a weird place to break up. And we got back to her place. I was like, are we broken up? She's like, no. And I was like, are you sure? I think I pushed it, looking back on it.
What was the fight? Well, what did you disagree on? I don't like the way you look. And I don't like the way you breathe. Right.
What would she say is your worst problem?
Oh, well, she was, she thought we didn't do like enough exciting things, I think. But I was like, literally last week.
You were at Houlihan's.
Yeah.
the irony.
Come on, man. That is Houlihan's. Not everyone gets this treatment.
Right.
I was like, last week we were at the table at the Cellar and you ate dinner next to Louis C.K. and Chris Rock. This is exciting.
Right.
This is, I don't know what type of life you want to live that's above that, but I can't provide it. Well, but she was just, it was the wrong fit. I mean, because I'm a very politically incorrect person and she works with special needs kids. So like everything I said would trigger her. She was just very triggered easily.
But like what? Like you can't stop. You must say retarded over and over. Like
I have to say the word. And for those 6 months, I never said it. And I still don't say it that much. Right. But we had one fight where I was like, what are you retarded? And it was just downhill. I think that might have been the...
Right.
Yeah.
That's how often would you...
To me, it was just odd because it ended out of nowhere. You know, I don't think either of us really expected it.
Huh. That was a suspect to me, right? Like out of nowhere... Is there really such a thing?
You can get into a friend zone easily, but it is funny, like, it was out of nowhere, and then it got so hateful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird, because there was no hate to it, you know? It wasn't even that, we were just saying things, like, we weren't that negative.
Was it the first time you actually talked about anything?
No, we had, a few weeks before, we had a serious talk. We were coming home from, like, a Phillies game, I think, and, because that's where she went to TCNJ, which is where that's where the Phillies are close to there.
I was going to say, I'm like, this doesn't make sense going to the Phillies, but you clued us in.
Yeah. And I'm not a Phillies fan. So, but it was just super. Maybe looking back, there were some signs, but none that stood out to me.
Was it the first time that you disagreed with each other and actually like stood your ground by it? Because sometimes you can be like, oh, we disagree. You naturally talk about something else because you just kind of want to get along in the first couple months.
I think it was the first time we talked about what was the real threat to our relationship was that she was in love with New Orleans and wanted to move to New Orleans after, because she graduated this year. She gets her master's next year. She wants to teach in New Orleans. And my big thing as a comic, it's either we could live in New York or if you want to go to LA, we could live in LA. There's no, I can't go to New Orleans because I'm not going to grow there. And I think that was a big scare to her because she had her whole life ahead of her. And she was like, well, now I'm restricted to two places.
Mm, that's so funny that you guys needed to decide. I mean, good for you. You needed to break up. But yeah. It's like, oh, when we move it, like, who gives a shit? You're going to be on the road for a year. Like, it's right. So yeah. Much. There's so much to fight behind that it's like, just break up.
I just
up.
Think we were two people who liked planning things. I'm very punctual. I like to know where things are going. And I just think we both realized that down the road there would be more problems.
Because earlier I was thinking, Keith, this sounded like a couple of relationships that you spoke about in the past where they would be sort of 9-to-5ers. And even though you had probably like either a 9-to-5 or some kind of more normal job, your brain wasn't there.
Yes.
And so they would sort of respond to you like you're an asshole. And I think that's confusing because it's like, this is what you thought was exciting ahead of time.
Yeah, well, I find that a lot with girls that I talk to who are at first intrigued with stand-up, and then, you know, months later, they're like, are you going to do that again? I was like, yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah, it's sexy, your job, because it's not normal. And then it's like, just, okay, seriously, the joke's over.
And I found myself doing less stand-up in that time, and it wasn't, I couldn't do less stand-up, and I didn't like that part of it.
Right.
I don't know that it's just a female-male thing, because I got that, like, people who were like, oh, man, you really say what you mean, and you really speak openly, and I'm like, yeah, okay, somebody gets me, and they're like, are you still saying that? And I'm like, the truth? Yeah, it's going to keep coming at you.
It's the allure when you first meet someone of what's behind them and the mystique, and some people it wears off more quicker than others.
But yeah. I thought I was putting it out there, and they're like, you're fun. I'm like, you like this? This is fun? All right. And they're like, not like...
Always.
Forever.
Right. Speaking of baseball, you played baseball in high school?
I did. I started when I was like 3 years old. I played into high school.
And you were good. You were a pitcher.
I was a pitcher. I was all right. I threw the second no-hitter in my high school's history, which was fun. That's like one of my most fond memories in my life.
Did that get you laid?
Weirdly enough, high school always had a girlfriend.
Okay.
First 2 years was in a two-year relationship, and then the last 2 years I dated a girl for a year each. So I was never single.
You had 8 scholarship offers.
About, yeah, 7, 8.
And where'd that go?
I originally was going to go to Florida Tech, which is, I don't know why, I have no interest in tech. And then...
things I hate, Florida Tech.
Yeah, it made no sense, but it just sounded nice, and they had a nice field. That's how I based it. I would be like, that's a nice field. I didn't think about anything else about the college.
The grass is green.
Yeah, and then...
Why'd the career end?
Well, I ended up going to Felician University, which is in East Rutherford, New Jersey, which at that time, you know, I had the mental thing and I didn't know. I wasn't just in a weird place. So I was like, it's best to be 45 minutes from home.
Okay.
And that was good for me. And the team is phenomenal. I mean, my captain that year plays for the Rockies in AAA right now. I have a few friends who are in the rookie leagues and for the Blue Jays, all that shit. But
and you're so happy for them.
when they sent me pictures of their paychecks, I was like, wow, you're doing worse than I am. I was like, I thought professional baseball was good paying, not so much.
The more A's, the worse, right?
Yeah.
Do you miss it? Like, will you see baseball and get sad?
The first, I would say the year after, because I had an injury, I had Tommy John surgery.
Okay.
So I blew up my UCL. I went to the Yankees doctor. He repaired it. I did 6 months of very intense rehab and was never able to really get back to even throwing a baseball again. So in that span of a year from the injury to then, I don't think I watched a single game because baseball was literally my life. And now, like, having that one thing taken from you is crazy.
Right.
Because to me, it was always baseball, then academics, which wasn't that bad for me because I was a decent enough student to where Felician's a fun school to play baseball at. But career-wise, a degree from Felician means nothing.
Okay.
So I there was a whole thing where I was like, well, I chose the school based off of baseball.
Right.
I lose the scholarship. Now I'm dealing with all of this money. I was like, I just have to drop out and do something.
And that's when you got into stand-up?
Yeah, I got into stand-up that summer, the summer after my freshman year of college.
Do you start – in your act, you talk a lot about being overweight, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Did you start not working out, not eating right? Because I'm not playing baseball. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, when I was playing baseball, I weighed 185 pounds. I'm probably in about 302 right now.
Okay.
So that's over like a 3-4 year span because this wasn't too long ago.
Do you care?
A little bit. Not enough.
None. Right.
Because the thing is, when you're a college athlete, it's wake up at 6. You have your 6 a.m. lifts. You go to class. Then you have practice at night. And then you sometimes you go and do a second lift on your own. Just to stay in shape, and then And then when you don't have someone standing over you being like, you have to do this, I was like, well, yeah, I could just stay home and write jokes now. I'm not bettering my career at the gym.
Would the girlfriend try to get you working out?
A little bit. Like, she was, one time she made me run with her, but I annoyed her so much. I periscoped the run. And I was like, if you want us to run, I'm going to periscope this to the no people who watch this.
How'd you do?
I lasted not long on the run. I got some good views, though, you know.
By the way, so again, this is a recorded Thursday coming out today, obviously Tuesday, but over the weekend was the eclipse. Is it a lunar eclipse? What is it? The sun in front of the moon or vice versa?
You know what? You asked me this before the episode and I was like, oh yeah, I got to look that up because I'm always like, oh, the sun, the moon, something's going and I can't look at it. And I'm just like, I'll just look it up. I don't know. Something goes in front of the other. You can't look at it.
My older brother loves this kind of stuff. And when I was visiting my parents fairly recently, he gave me these special cardboard plastic thing. You look through it to...
I've seen so many of these signs, like, we're out of eclipse glasses. I was like, I didn't know they were selling them.
Right.
What is this?
And I saw that online too. Someone's like, where can I get some? And my brother, he does not know me. I don't give a shit. And he's like, oh my goodness, when Christy was here, I didn't give her glasses. And I'm like, you can give her mine. He's like, no, you keep those. No. Like,
oh, I can't tell if you're like the cruelest or the nicest, because in a way it's like, tell the truth. It's not, I'm not into it. And then Christy can have her glasses. But in the other way, it's like, this is the only thing that he talks to you about. And you're like, oh, it's real fun. Oh, I really want to do this. It's just sarcasm all over the place.
I'm like, I look away from the sun when it starts to hurt.
What? Yeah, that's everyone's concern. Like, it's going to burn your retina. I was like, I will close my eyes. I don't need to buy your glasses.
He's such a sensitive, sweet older brother. And the stuff that his, like, they're five children and Keith is the second and you're such a brat towards him. One time, he just arrived to their house and they live in the country. So like, as soon as you turn off the car, everything's quiet. Yeah. There's like cornfields down the road. It's just super exactly what you picture and what you can hear, which is nothing, right? And on the way, it's like a short walk because you're in the driveway. It's like a few steps into the door and his brother goes, wait a minute, look up. And Keith goes, okay. just like right away. I was like, I'm looking. He goes, no, adjust your eyes. Look at all the stars that are in the sky. And he goes, oh, I can't get over it. I can't even. And for like forever, he's the brother that made him look in the sky before he went in and adjust his eyes.
I'm on your side. The second someone tells me to adjust my eyes, I was like, no.
Right.
There's work required.
I'm going to look up, and if my eyes do something, it's done.
Yeah. Yep, I burned my retina. I learned my lesson. I'll get your shitty glasses next time.
I look up. I go, fuck!
You weren't lying.
But it's totally understandable because on the one hand, hey, buddy, look, you're interested in this. Take a look at this dude's face. He's not interested at all. On the other hand, Keith, just look up and look at the stars and go, wow, that's nice. I don't get that in New York City.
Because I don't know how long I'm going to be fucked with. You know, it's like, now you're going to think that's my thing. I'm the king of stars and... We got to go through the stupidity every time I visit. Like, it's best you know now I give a shit.
My family's the same way, though. If I bring up comedy, they're like, we get it. You do comedy. They don't know what level they couldn't tell you if I was at an open mic or the Comedy Cellar. Right. They'd be like, oh, stand-up man.
That does suck about that kind of stuff because it's like, you know, you're a regular at the Comedy Cellar. You're 22 years old. This is, it's unheard of almost, right? Or at least in a long, long, long time.
I believe I have the record for the shortest amount of time it took to get in, but I think Pete Davidson was the youngest.
It's absolutely insane, and congratulations.
Thank you.
It's huge. It's huge to us, but your parents go, oh, you get to work in a club?
Well, my parents love it because my parents are actually weirdly
enough. No, your parents have to be assholes like ours are.
Right. Oh, you made it in a cellar.
It would be better stand-up material if I had shitty parents.
Right.
But they're like the classic. They've been together since they're 14. They love comedy. They grew up in Brooklyn. They would go to Pips all the time.
Oh, wow.
So the first time I was at the cellar, they came to the show. I was like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be hating me for this.
Right. Is it strange, by the way, that your parents weren't with other people ever?
I feel like they might have been. I
don't know. Before 14?
You never know. No, I think they broke up for like a month and just experimented.
Okay.
Also, yeah. Brooklyn was Brooklyn back then.
Yeah. It's like they can't close the yearbook. Every year, oh, did we tell you about the luau party? I was like, every day it comes up once. You guys wore shirts with flowers on it and got drunk. Grow up.
What part of Brooklyn did they grow up?
Marine Park.
And did you ever live there?
No, when I was born in Brooklyn in Methodist Hospital, which is where my mom still works, and they thought it would be a fantastic idea the second I was born to move to a log cabin in Cornwall, New York. Meanwhile, Pardon. They've spent their entire lives in Brooklyn and have never seen a bear. So they move up there, and I think it lasted like less than a year.
Aww.
And then we moved to Staten Island and then eventually to the Jersey Shore when I was like 7.
I totally get that. I grew up here. I grew up in New York, and like every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? Do I really like New York because I like New York or because I grew up here and I'm like, I'm a hippie? And I wonder if like a lot of New Yorkers are like that. Like, I'm just a hippie. I'm just going to go work in a cafe somewhere and like just live a chill life. And as soon as I get out of the city, I'm just like, oh, it's beautiful. Maybe I was right. And then I come back in and I'm like, let's go out and do things. Yeah. And I can't. I have to be in both places.
When you get away and it's so slow moving, you're like, all right, what's next? And like, well, we're just going to sit here and look at the stars.
But adjust your eyes.
I follow Dan's tweet account, the Twitters, at Dan Lamort. I feel like Nike has to explain to Tiger Woods that Just Do It was their slogan and not an appropriate response to every drug he's seen. Remember when Tiger Woods was caught stumbling, mumbling, driving, and he's pulled over? Do you know all the drugs that were in his system?
Absurd.
An absurd amount. Hydrocodone, hydromorphone, a painkiller, alprazolam, an anxiety drug, Zolpidem, a sleep drug, Delta 9 carboxy THC, active ingredient in weed, of course. What the fuck? That's not Benadryl and half a glass of wine, and I got confused.
Yeah, essentially, he had a Xanax, an Ambien, and a painkiller in his system all at the same time.
That's kind of a boring high, it feels like.
I don't know. Have you ever mixed all of those? It might be the best high that we don't know.
You're right.
Do trust me, it's good. Where am I? They pull him over, have him do a test. He fails, and he goes, okay. And he tries to get back in the car to drive away.
So it is a good drug.
He started at one point, no joke, he started, the officer has him get out of the car, and then he starts walking away.
Mm.
They're like, no, we're still talking. Oh, okay.
I had that recently. I had a string of very bad car crashes. And
do you know you're 22?
Yeah.
does anything in your system know you're 22?
My brain has not been the same since the first. I had a traumatic brain injury in the first one. But the second one was the funny one. Not really that funny. But I was driving home on the Garden State Parkway in Jersey, which is 60 miles an hour. And it was 2 a.m, so it's pitch black. And this guy got off the exit, and he was so drunk and high that he decided to park his car in the middle of the exit and turn off the lights.
Oof.
So I hit, this was my second one. The first one was February. This was May.
Were you sober?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
And I hit him going about 60 miles an hour.
Just straight on.
Straight on. It shattered my windshield. I broke, the car scrunched up and broke like 7 bones in my foot. I tore some stuff in my chest, but I got to the side of the road because it was very dangerous because now my car was broken. I'm in the middle of the road. My airbags were already deployed. So I need to kick the door open like Survivor, get to the side of the road. The cops eventually come. The guy, he literally threw out pills at the scene, like in front of the cops, but he had a broken nose. And the officer was like, you want to go to the hospital? And the guy was like, nah, my buddy's coming to pick me up. I'm just going to go home. They were like, that's not how this works, sir. Right. They're like, you were drunk and high. He's like, yeah, my buddy's coming. We're just going to go back to Staten Island. They were like, dude, you're under arrest. It was like, ah, all right.
Then yes, the hospital.
Yeah, I'll take the hospital.
Now, what was he arrested for?
DUI. I think that I don't have the full case because it's still in a whole legal process. I am suing him.
Oh, you are? Well, because the reason why is because he was parked and he could just go like, I got here and then
I just got here and then just started drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not technically he could, but that's so scary because you didn't.
The crazy thing was he was on the parkway though. So it's 60 miles an hour.
You didn't have a chance to even press your brakes because you didn't see him.
I saw it the spiritual side of me, I saw it coming and I recognized what was happening. And I was like, this was my second one in 2 months. So I was like, oh, you're dead. I was like, this is it. It's over.
In 2 months?
Yeah, because I had one in February.
And how that one happened? That is
that was my fault.
Did that result in your bipolar? I mean, I'm not joking when you said you had a brain injury.
No, no, it didn't. That what happened was I spilt my coffee, or I like to tell people it was a coffee. It was a mocha culotta from Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay,
so no reason to even bend down to pick it up. It is cold, and I spilt it, and I looked down, and the guy in front of me stopped short, and I hit him going like 45 miles an hour.
Oof.
But airbags are meant to hit you in the chest. They're not meant to hit you when you're bent over.
Oh,
so I took an airbag right to the face, and I was out cold for like 7 minutes. And I go to like two different doctors every week just to get it checked. I might need like a cert. Like there's some weird thing going on with like the brain fluid and the spinal fluid. I don't know.
Do you hear things or see things? Like what's going on right now?
Right now is normal. It's more of a memory thing. Short-term memory isn't as good as it used to be. Like if I'm on the road, I have to bring notes on stage if I'm doing an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll lose my spot around like the 30, 40 minute mark. Names I'm not good with anymore.
Might as well start smoking weed.
Yeah, I mean...
Not funny yet? It'll get there. Still having a brain injury and it's not cool? All right. Be good. This was something that I was scared of. Like when you said you dropped the culotta. First of all, I'm scared of culottas. When we were going on tour, we were getting a tour bus. And so...
Fancy.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh, anyone can drive this because it's... it used to be one of those, what do you call those houses on wheels?
RV.
Yeah, it used to be an RV. It's converted to have, you know, all these sections for a bunch of people to go on tour. It had a living room, all this stuff. It was really cool. And I'm like, that means that I technically can drive this and I don't trust it. Now, people in my husband's family are truck drivers. And we happened to, a couple months before, whenever I was starting to think about I need a driver for this, happened to be around like one of his uncle's friends who's also a truck driver. And he's like, oh, I just got into an accident. I flipped over my truck. I mean, before that, I was like, hey, we trust this guy. Like, this is great. But I didn't say anything. I'm like, oh, you ever get into an accident? And I'm like, so he flipped his car. What happened? His water went down the side of the passenger.
Water bottle.
Yeah. And he went to reach it. And just like you, he veered off the road. He almost died. He had to like all this rehab.
Like a stupid movie.
Yeah, you know, water is just irreplaceable.
Right.
Exactly. But
it's not enough of it.
It got me to some next level place of, okay, first I had to find a driver. Maybe, you know, one of our friends is willing to like take on this giant thing. But then I didn't realize that some idiot could look for a fucking water bottle and kill us all. Then we ended up getting Wally, who was like the greatest, greatest, greatest driver.
We gave him a whole, like 10 Poland Spring bottles.
Yes. He wants for nothing.
Right.
But the thing is on the road, there's some like indications where you're maybe veering a little to the right a little more. And you got to roll over that at some point as a driver. And it sort of wakes up everybody. But every time I felt that, I'm like... We're turning over.
As you're sleeping.
Yes. So I kept waking up going like, oh my God, Wally, it's not worth the water. It's not worth the water. Meanwhile, he's driving perfectly fine, but it was so fucking scary.
Yeah, accidents. The scariest part of my last one was that I was also eating a Dunkin' Donuts bacon, egg, and cheese at the time. And it...
Someone's telling you something.
This was the first one. This was the Mocha Culotta one. And when I went, I totaled the car, so I had to go get my shit out of it like 3 days later when I was back mentally. And the bacon, egg, and cheese had splashed on the windshield. Right. And the egg and cheese were the same exact color as the day when I don't think. Yeah. I hope Dunkin' Donuts isn't one of your sponsors because whatever they're serving is not real.
Don't worry. People continue to eat it.
Yeah. I had it this morning. I just feel like we're going to be the Dunkin' Donuts generation where like when our bodies decompose, like, oh, look at that, the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Same color.
Yeah. Dan's tweet account again. The government says, hey, Dan, you've been drafted for World War III. And Dan says, sorry, government, you deem me mentally ill at age 17.
Oh, nice one.
Zing.
Ha, ha, ha.
Got him.
Nice try, Trump. I'm insane.
I also feel like I'm not the demographic for the draft. They're like, obese, former athlete? Mm-hmm. We'll go with someone else.
I hope the nuclear launch code is, quote, I'm sorry for all the bad things I've done, because we all know Donald Trump won't say or type that.
That's funny.
Again, for the people looking on the cameras, I am far too liberal to look this racist. It is the looks I was given. I cannot control it.
Do people tell you weird shit? Because I noticed like that happens to you, Keith, right?
Like on the street, yeah. They'll be like, these damn insert stereotype, and I'm like, well, this, I'm not this guy.
Because you look like you would co-sign it.
Yeah, like so, when I'm on stage now, I have to address it. I'm like, hey guys, I'm not what I look like.
Whoa.
Just because people get, I'm like, the flannel is what fits. Yeah. And I wear boots because they're comfortable.
Yeah, I recognize what I look like. I won't even reach for things.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to confuse anybody. This is a Onion headline. Trump warns removing Confederate statues could be a slippery slope to eliminating racism entirely. I saw this. If you go right now on my Twitter account, I happen to pin it. It's Vice News did this 20-minute video of Charlottesville, where this reporter's embedded with the Nazis. It is frighteningly so good. It is so well done.
Was that the one with the white kid who took off his shirt?
I didn't see that.
You didn't see this video?
I don't. Oh. I'm not sure the one you mean.
Oh, it was. Should I explain?
No, yes. Sure.
He was a white kid dressed in like the whatever outfits these Nazis are wearing,
right?
And then a group of Black kids went at him, and he took off his shirt as if like a surrender flag. Right. He's like, I'm only here for the fun. I'm not racist. I'm here for the fun.
No.
He crippled his belief so quickly. it's a video that, yeah. And then like later on, someone like followed him and they see him like chanting hateful stuff. Like, weren't you that kid who just bitched out 10 minutes ago?
Wow.
He was like, oh, it's just fun.
What's his 20 minute one?
It's just great. It's just so well done. It's these Nazis trying to explain their point. And their point is just white power, period, you know, but they're trying to justify it. And somebody said to me, they heard I was using the word Nazi on this show. Like, yeah, don't use that word. It minimizes World War II. And I'm like, no, that is the word. The word is Nazi. Maybe the right thing to say is neo-Nazi, but I never liked that. Neo sounds smart. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a fancy way of saying new.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It is Nazi. It is, and to say white nationalist instead of Nazi is like saying somebody was inappropriate as opposed to forcible touching.
Yeah. Just label it what it is.
Yeah.
I agree. White nationalist sounds like a nice group that gets together, you know?
Yeah.
Just in support of, yeah.
Do you remember, I happened to see the Rage Against the Machine video. I forget what the song is right now.
All of them.
But do you remember they act like Trump is the president? An old video.
No.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And they're fighting the power and they made Trump president.
What year was this? Sorry.
Long time ago. I don't know.
See, time travel exists.
Yeah.
No.
Wouldn't that be funny? That's what they did with their time travel.
Yeah. They didn't prevent anything. They're just like, dude, this video is going to be killer.
How are we just kind of, how isn't this, you know, like running its course in pop culture?
I think it was for a minute.
I missed it.
Well, that was like last year when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. There was a kid who in like the 90s, his yearbook quote was Chicago Cubs 2017 World Series champions.
That's awesome.
And I was like, how is this not? And it was like proved. He was like, yeah, I wrote this.
Wow. Like, I mean, somebody's got to get it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how does anyone predict anything? That's beautiful. I was just speaking of dates. Yesterday, I was at the doctor, and every time we're there, we have to say our birth date. And the way I remember my husband's birthday is because it's all shitty. He was born on September 11th, 1984.
Wow.
I can't forget it.
I feel like that's the birthday you make up for an evil character in a book.
Right? Yeah. And then everyone calls you a hack.
Yeah.
The song was Sleep Now in the Fire, and they were saying, you know, people were saying Trump's going to be president in 2000. So, it was, you know, this is some time ago.
They were in the ballpark.
And by the way, this was around the time where we were using Trump as a positive word. Like, I want to get so rich. I want to be Trump. I trumped that, you know. Like,
what year did this video come out? You said 2000?
So before 2000.
Okay.
My father, this foreigner, he would use it as a joke, but he would really use it. He would go Trump change when he's like, yeah, I can get that. That's Trump change.
Well, wouldn't that be something? They have time travel. This is what people are doing.
They're just using it for music videos.
Do you ever play baseball anymore?
No, I haven't played any semblance of a competitive put together game since. I do watch it again. I do go to games.
Do you get angry?
No, not as much as I used to. I think because comedy is definitely where I was meant to be.
Oh,
I
really?
I don't think baseball.
Oh, really? I'm acting surprised. Oh, really? Wow.
Is that what you think about yourself?
No, it's such a quick change.
It was, and that's what I was worried about mentally. I was like, how did I just go from losing this and now to gaining this? And I think it could have gone the opposite way, where maybe comedy didn't take off for me as quickly as it did. I mean, I started going on the road the same year I started comedy, I think. So, like, it quickly went well for me.
And how does that happen to you and not other people? I know it's because you're the funniest man alive, but...
I don't even think that is... It's just so... And I wasn't even, like, an open mic guy. Like, I did one open mic at Eastville. And I remember a comic. I don't remember who. He's probably not even in it anymore. And he came up to me after... And he was like, you're okay, but you have to do 5 open mics a night to become a professional. And the weird part in my brain was like, I'm never doing another open mic in New York City again. And that was the first and last mic I think I ever did.
What was after that then?
I quickly...
By the way, that's after the first time you're on stage, and meaning that...
This was my third time. This was my first time in New York City. I did 2 mics in New Jersey, which I hated.
But this is the first time this guy had to see you.
This was the first time I had ever met this guy.
He's like, you're never going anywhere unless...
Yeah, the classic older jaded comic who just wants to make someone young feel bad. Like, yeah, this is going to break you. I was like, it might, but let it do it, and not you.
Where'd you get the job from? The first... From an open mic, where did you go to?
Barking. I started barking for the Village Lantern before it is what it is now. Back when it was like a very scary room to be in.
What was it like?
My favorite Village Lantern story is, you know, you've been to the Lantern, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have, now it's all done upstairs, but they used to have a downstairs room. And me and one other barker, it was our jobs after the show ended to like break down the room. And it was probably 1 in the morning maybe. And the shows were over. We were putting the mics away. And then a group of gangbangers came down. They were like, you're doing a show for us. And we were like, we're really, it's over. And then like they kind of like pulled back their shirts as if to say, hey, we have stuff here.
Wow.
And so we were like held captive to do comedy.
Yeah,
I just started telling this story recently because I blocked it out of my head because it was so frightening.
That's somewhat crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I asked this question. Right. Jesus.
Yeah, no, we did a show for them, and they were the worst audience ever.
Did they light you? No, all right, you're done.
They just held a gun up. You're good.
No, I want to hear that one again.
Yeah.
Ah.
They weren't even laughing. I think what happened was they had their girlfriends with them, and I think
they didn't have a good sense of humor.
No, not at all.
No surprise.
And then the girlfriend says, "Thank you for making him do that. That was fun."
Yeah, I think it was just a power trip thing. They were like, "Watch us make these kids tell jokes for us for an extra 45 minutes."
First of all, thank you for the stage time, gangbangers.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was my first headlining set. Was
you're like, I don't have this amount of time. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm gonna make it.
So what?
You'd be surprised how quickly you write new material when a gun is by you.
What kind of material? Are you saying anything about?
I can't even do crowd work. Hey, where are you guys from?
Because I have to tell the police.
Yeah. Where's the exact address?
How do you know how much time you have to do on stage?
We kind of just did about like I think my friend did 20 and I did 25.
It was just the two of you?
It was the two of us. Everyone had left. That was when Laughing Buddha ran it. So all those guys were gone. They left and it was our job to break down the room.
Let me tell you how it would go. If it was me and my friend, I wouldn't do 20 and then she does 20. We would do 45 holding hands on stage, right? just going like, this is what we do all the time. This is stand up.
What's weird though is how petty it got between Dan and his friend, even though there are guns. Like, you go first. Yeah. I've been doing this.
You're opening.
Yeah. How did you decide who's going first?
Whoever needed
to not change their shorts.
Yeah. I don't remember. It was a very weird moment that I tried to block out.
Yeah,
we all have those weird moments in our life that we try to forget.
I guess we don't.
Yeah. No.
I'm listening to your stories today. You know what? I don't.
Yeah. There was one story on my album that I had blocked out for years about being an annoying kid at a camp. I was 8 years old, and a counselor just brought me into a shed and beat the shit out of me with a tennis racket. And I forgot about the story until I started doing comedy. And I went to my parents. I was like, how come you guys just... You could have owned that camp.
Right.
You literally could have sued them and been the proprietors of Frog Ridge Day Camp. And they were just like, well, we thought you deserved it. You were kind of an annoying kid.
Shit. How were you annoying?
I was a bully.
Watch me throw this ball.
I was a bully, which is weird because I was 8 and the counselor was like 18. So he should have been able to shut me down.
An 18-year-old? You bullied and then they hit you?
I was always pretty good with words.
What kind of bullying did you do this 18-year-old?
Like, you know, the classic, come up behind him, trip him, really hit him where it hurts. He was like a nerdy kid.
Oh, you were a complete asshole.
But mind you, he was 10 years older than me.
Yeah, I don't know. Starting to not be on your side on this one. Sorry, buddy.
You know what,
You're punching him in the dick. Go fuck yourself.
But man, how humiliating. You're an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had the final laugh. Well, not really. He got fired, so.
Right. Oh, no, not from camp.
Yeah. Is he okay?
That big job.
Yeah, we used to do kids' parties. I definitely threw a kid. Fuck you, you're hitting me like that.
Yeah.
Do you follow him on Facebook?
No.
Okay. It'd be nice to know, right? I follow my bullies. I really do.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're over it, Keith.
Yeah, you're holding on to something.
Oh, I love it. One's dead, beautiful. One's fat as a house, excellent. One just, the wife just left him, perfect.
That does sound great.
Follow Dan's Twitter, Dan Lamorte, L-A-M-O-R-T-E. And the website is the same, danlamorte.com. And yes, as we said, the debut album, Not Enough Pieces. You can get it on Spotify, iTunes. You can hear it on Sirius XM when they happen to play it. So,
this,
you know,
is true.
Actually go and get it. And that's it. It's very nice meeting you.
Yes, very nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
KeithandTheGirl.com/app. Take a look at the app. And thank you very much for sharing these shows with friends. KeithandTheGirl.com.